You are the light of the world. Your light must shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father. One of the greatest privileges of being a priest is you have the opportunity to witness the transformations of souls by the grace of God, whether up close or from afar. You get to see it in a way that very few other people ever have the opportunity of doing so. It's extraordinary. When I was in one of my previous assignments, there was a woman, a wife and a mother. She was in her early 40s, had two kids. One was a teenager, one was a little bit younger. She was married to a man, is still married to a man, who is Jewish. But he's a secular Jew. He's fallen away from the active practice of the Jewish faith. But he looks at Christianity, Catholicism as, well, he doesn't have much interest. He'll go to Mass with his wife, but I think he sees her as overly pietistic, a little too devotional, somewhat superstitious. She undergoes this incredible transformation interiorly, where all of a sudden she begins to deepen her life with prayer. She joins a Bible study group, starts reading the lives of the saints, and something she discovers in every book on the saints is this devotion to the Eucharist. And if at all possible, they try to attend daily Mass. And so she thinks, my goodness, what have I been doing? Why don't I do the same thing the saints do? So she decides she's going to start going every day to Mass. Well, she does this for about 3 months. But like most moms with young kids, you can't make Mass every day. Things come up unexpectedly. You have to drive your kid to an appointment, or they forget their homework at home. You got to drive back across town. So maybe once a week or every other week, she'll miss a Mass. 3 months go by. One day, she picks her kids up from school, drives home, she's preparing dinner. Her husband comes through the door right after work, and first thing, she just snaps at him. He looks at her and he says, you didn't go to Mass today, did you? She's totally shocked. She said, what? How did you know that? He said, I've noticed over the past few months that every time you miss Mass, it's that same day that we get into an argument. You don't realize it, but you're a different person on those days. You're not as kind, you're not as gentle, you're not as loving, you're more irritable. This man who's not even Catholic, who's a secular Jewish man, noticed the effects of grace from receiving the Holy Eucharist, even though he wouldn't be able to explain that. My brothers and sisters, where do we get the light that we're supposed to shine to the world? It comes from our Lord, and most especially through intimate prayer with Him, and above all, the highest prayer, the sacrifice of the Mass. I remember our Lord, when He called Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa was in a vibrant and active religious order. She had no desire to leave her community, and one day she's traveling by train in India, and our Lord appears to her, and He says to her, I want you to go and found a new order, leave your own community, and venture off. And she thinks, oh my gosh, that's crazy. I don't have the strength. No, I can't do that. She wants to refuse. For the next few months, our Lord comes to her over and over with these words. Come be my light. Come be my light. We all know what kind of a light Mother Teresa became. At the very end of her life, there was an American reporter who wanted to get sort of the final scoop on the life of this incredible woman. He travels from the United States, goes to India. He had never met Mother Teresa in person before. He had just seen her on TV or in newspaper articles. He gets there, and she's nearing 80 years old. He arrives at her convent in Calcutta, comes to the door, and one of the sisters answers, and he says who she is. Mother Teresa is awaiting him. She ushers him back to her room. He walks in, and he's surprised to see Mother Teresa sitting there in a wheelchair. He never realized how little she was. Mother Teresa, she wasn't even 5 feet tall, and how frail she was. And his eyes well up with tears, and he says, Mother, what is your secret? When our Lord appeared to her on that train, do you know what her goal was? What she hoped to accomplish before she died? To establish 15 houses of the Missionaries of Charity. One house for each decade of the Rosary, because she had a great devotion to Our Lady and the Holy Rosary. Do you know how many houses Mother Teresa founded in her life? 375 in almost 100 different countries. This man says, Mother Teresa, what is your secret? She said, my secret is simple. I pray. I pray. She attributed everything God had accomplished in her life to prayer. If we could grasp the power of prayer, it would be hard to pull us from the church night or day. It would be hard for us to do anything else. You know what the church views as the highest calling, the loftiest vocation God can give to any soul? It's the contemplative life, the life of continual prayer in solitude. Then why does the church view that as the highest of all vocations? Because spiritual works of mercy are greater than corporal works of mercy. It's better to pray for someone than to do a good deed for them. Now, of course, we should do both, but prayer has the priority. I remember when I was in the seminary, my vocation director, he said, a few moments of true contemplative prayer do more for your soul and for the good of the world than months of active service. Another vocation director of mine said, every day before you go to bed, when you plan out the following day, the first thing I want you to do is figure out when can you spend 1 hour in front of the Blessed Sacrament before you plan anything else, because nothing is more important than prayer. Would that we all believe that. Is prayer the first thing we plan in our day? Do we realize there's nothing more important than we could ever do? Sometimes in confession, I'll say to someone, are you praying? Are you making time every day for prayer? And they'll say, yeah, Father. I'll talk to God sometimes. I'll say grace before a meal. Before I get in the car and drive somewhere, I'll say Hail Mary. And I say, well, okay, that's great. But that's not enough. There has to be at least 15 minutes of time where it's just you and our Lord. And that doesn't mean driving in the car praying the rosary. That means getting down on your knees, ideally coming to the church. You know, if every single person in this parish came to this church for 15 minutes a day, what would happen? This parish would be a wellspring of grace for the entire diocese. The effects would be unbelievable. St. Alphonsus Liguori, he said, those who pray are certainly saved. Those who do not pray are certainly damned. What happens when we don't pray? We die. We spiritually wither. Then I would add one more thing to St. Alphonsus Liguori. Those who pray are certainly saved, and they bring a whole entourage of souls to heaven with them. May we be committed to daily prayer.